Try not to kick that off the stage or the... My goodness alive. Children's Church. Y'all have a great time in Children's Church today. All right. For the rest of us, let's take our Bibles and turn to Joshua. You say, man, that sounds a lot different than the Gospel of Mark. It is. It is. It's off in the Old Testament. Joshua judges Ruth. And so let's get there. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua 3, I'll invite you to stand. It's right after Deuteronomy. And again, Joshua, and then Judges, and then Ruth. So Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. They're in the front end of that Bible that you're carrying around. Or the one that you have on your phone, or whatever you have a copy of God's Word on or in. Joshua chapter 3. Chapter 3, a lengthy passage of Scripture this morning, but we'll get through it together, and I'll try to read it as quickly as the Lord allows this morning. If you found Joshua chapter 3, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, the Word of God reads this in Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Verse 4, Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Amen, church?
Amen.
And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are to come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Verse 9, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites." Wow, say that 5 times fast. "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan." That's into the river, folks. "Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet..." Listen to this, verse 13. This is really important here. "And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap." Verse 14. "Came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water." Notice what it says in parentheses, "For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest." That's very important right there. Verse 16, "That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon and heaped very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, fell and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Wow, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your Word. We thank you for the message of your Word that you begin with us out of this chapter this morning. Lord, may we begin to sink our minds and our teeth, so to speak, into this truth, and may we be open to it. May we have ears to hear, heart to listen. Lord, may we not stop the truth from coming in, but may we freely allow it. Lord, we pray as we go through this message this morning. Lord, we pray that we make some gains in our spiritual growth, some gains in our discipleship, that we make some gains, Lord, in what we need to be doing for You. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here among us that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, that, Lord, because of their attendance here today, because of the love that they've experienced, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, because of the preached word, the prayers, the songs, all of that working in concert, Lord, I pray that You might bring that lost individual under conviction, that they might receive You today as their personal Savior and Lord. If not today, tonight. If not tonight, tomorrow. But Lord, it would be another seed. It would be some more truth, Lord. It would be another opportunity to receive You as their personal Savior and Lord. May they not delay. May they not wait. May they seize the gospel this morning. It's in Your name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. The two spies had returned from Jericho. Man, they've gone and searched it out. They've having followed Joshua's orders, they checked out the land and the city. They had escaped discovery with Rahab's help. You remember that part of the story. And now they give their report to General Joshua. I mean, they come in and they give it. I want you to imagine their countenance as they said the words of Joshua chapter 2, verse 24. The Word of God reads, and they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Well, I think probably their chests were stuck out a little bit. Their heads were held high, and their countenance was up. Amen? When they got to say that. This was the news Joshua had been waiting for. Oh, man. Welcome news. Immediately, Joshua dispatched runners throughout the vast camp of the Israelites, announcing that first thing in the morning, they would break camp and pitch their tents on the edge of the Jordan River's floodplain. Basically what he's saying here. They would finally come to the entry point of the Promised Land. Verse 1, chapter 3, records the event. We just read it. The journey from Acacia Grove, from Acacia Grove to the river's edge is an easy one, just a few miles over smooth ground. Easy to get to, easy to get there. So we can assume that the Israelites probably finished relocating before the sun had risen high in the sky. Man, it was a quick trip. They're there. They're set up. Can you imagine the talk in the camp? Well, we're about to go in. We're about to get our inheritance. We're about to come into the Promised Land. Praise Jehovah God. Man, they're getting ready to go. Right? But as they approached the famous river that formed a barrier between them and their longed-for real estate, what they saw by the light of day, what they saw by the height of the sun in the sky, what they saw was both confusing and dreadful. Oh, they had all this high time. They had all this great drama of success and victory, and now they finally get to the place where they've got to cross over. And my soul, what is going on here? The Jordan was defiantly uncrossable. There's a simple sentence in verse 15 that gives us the picture. Joshua 3:15 in the King James Version, in parentheses, says this, "For Jordan overfloweth his banks all the time of harvest." How many banks does he overflow? All of them. How long? All the time of harvest. All the time of harvest. Picture, if you will, the Jordan has swelled its banks. It's off into its floodplain, spreading about a mile across on average, ranging in depth from 3 feet to 12 feet, all covering thick undergrowth that could easily trip someone up, cast them into an overwhelming current. This was the sight that greeted
the multiple hundreds of thousands that pitched their tents alongside the river's water. Verse 2 of our passage says they spent the next 3 days right there. Right there. Now, when we think about this chapter, when we think about these verses, when we think about this story, we can relate the Israel's plight from this past week that some of us have been through. Can we not? With what the experts are calling a 500-year flooding event, I think they need to tweak that a little bit. These floods are coming more often than not. Amen? Maybe like an every 20-year flood or every 30-year flood. I'm not quite sure, but I think a 500-year flooding event is a little optimistic. I think they're coming a little more regular than that. But we get the point of rivers out of their bank, right? If you got to see this thing down here, let me get my bearings right. Yeah, down here. If you got to see that, boy, that was something. Not like 94, but it was something, right? To see the approach to this bridge, I mean, covered, baby. You're not getting by it. I mean, we get it when we think about rivers out of their banks and rivers rushing along. We get it when we think about dangers underneath the water's edge. Sunday night, late Sunday night, maybe it was Monday, me and my neighbor, we were out walking our street. Our street, our subdivision was filling up like a bathtub, literally like a bathtub, with this rain coming down 4 inches an hour. And when water is rushing, when water is coming down, when it is being blown around, when it is moving, let me tell you something, it's surreal. There's just something surreal about it. I'm standing on my porch and lightning is flashing all around and I'm watching the water creep up and about to get into my daughter's car. She's driving my old Suburban. That car sits up pretty high. And I was just about to go in shock, and my next door neighbor who's been a Ted Villarreal, who's been a Houston police officer going on 30 years, he goes, "Hey, Pastor, you might want to move that car." Had he not said that, I would have probably stood there another 10 or 15 minutes and watched the water just go right into it. But I get the keys, and we move it. We put it in the drive and make it safe. Water's not going to get into it. But man, the comedy of it all. Sunday night is when everybody, most everybody in the neighborhood, puts out their trash, right? And here comes the rain. And it floats and blows that stuff. And so me and this Houston police officer, he's got on, I mean, he looks like he knows what he's doing. He's got his cowboy hat on. He's got his boots on, you know, his water boots. He's got his rain slicker on. And here's this so skinny preacher following behind him. I'm barefoot, no hat. I got a slicker on, but that's about it. I mean, I'm sopping wet. Sopping wet. And we're navigating the street. And I want to tell you, was I looking for snakes? Was I looking for balls of fire ants? You bet. Was I looking for floating rats coming down? I mean, I was looking for all of it. Why? You don't know. You don't know what's under the water. Right? Yeah, you're barefooted. Right under my knee at the middle of the street in front of my house. Of course, the street crowns, so the middle's higher. Down at the end of our street, the water all the way up almost to the top of my thigh, which is 3 foot deep. Yeah, 3 foot. Incredible. We get it, amen? We kind of get the picture. At least I get it. Maybe I'm the only one, but I hope you get it by the end, amen? The river's out of it's rushing. Danger's underneath the water's edge. And the currents that will kill you, these poor people who drove under these underpasses. Oh, God love them. The currents and the flow of the water. Once you slide in there, you don't know how to swim, you don't know how to get out of a car with the windows up, it's pretty much over for you. But many of us this morning, we can relate to that because of what we've been through. But many of us this morning may have a river of another sort that needs crossing in our lives. For some, the river is of a spiritual nature. They need a spiritual deliverance. They need a marital intervention.
They need a new beginning. You see what I'm saying? They're looking to arrive at that promised land, so to speak. These rivers sometimes seem, these rivers, these things that we come up against, they seem so defiantly uncrossable at times. So the question is this: what is God's way to cross our uncrossable Jordans? I want to begin with you this morning by sharing one important way. 3 points, but one important way. And next week we'll finish this up. But number one, if you're taking notes, what is God's way to cross our uncrossable Jordan? Number one, we must follow the movements of God. You got to follow your Lord, man. You got to be in pursuit of your Christ. Amen. You've got to follow Jesus. You've got to follow the things of God. I mean, that's what we're saying. Look at verses 2 through 4. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They went through the camp, so to speak. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know that the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Amen. You've got to follow God, church. We think about this command because it's not a suggestion in the passage. It's a command. We think about this command. What did this command mean to the Israelites? What's going on with this? And why would God care so much about a piece of furniture that He required to go first? What's so big about this Ark of the Covenant? Well, understanding will come into focus as we open the Ark and we look inside of it. There were some things inside the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was important itself, but things inside of it were also important. Well, what's inside of it? Well, number one, stone tablets were inside of it. Stone tablets, which the finger of God, the very finger of God, had written the Ten Commandments. Both copies of the Ten Commandments. You say, no, Charlton Heston, he had two. And 1 through 4 was on one, and 6 through 10 was on the other. That ain't how it rolled, amen? I'm just telling you. They weren't split up on two tablets. They were two identical copies of the same Ten Commandments. God said, told Moses, He says, you keep both copies. I'm good for mine. It was a contract. I'm good for mine. You keep both of them, Moses. So Moses goes down with two copies of the Ten Commandments. That's what he's got. Both of those were in there. Amen? The stone tablets. But not only that. Understanding will come into focus as we open the ark and we look inside. What else was in there? Got to be careful saying this, but a pot of manna. Got to be careful in this day and age using that word pot. A lot of us refer to it as a jar of manna, but my King James Version says a pot of manna. Amen? Not to be confused with Colorado and anything going on there, but a pot of manna, right? I mean, you got to say that stuff today. People think, oh, man, medicinal marijuana. I guess that is all right. No, a pot of manna, right? It's got manna in it. It's a clay pot, not something to smoke, all right? Pot of manna, a reminder of God's gracious provision. This manna was gracious provision during the previous 40 years. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 33 and 34 and other verses. What else was inside? Stone tablets, manna. But also Aaron's rod was there. Aaron's rod, a dead stick that miraculously grew leaves, that miraculously budded out almonds, to validate the power of God to use anything He willed to accomplish His will down to the smallest detail, Numbers chapter 17. Wow, what a piece of furniture! What things it had inside. Amen? Beautiful. Three historical reminders contained therein. Three witnesses of God's love and His will and His provision and His power inside the Ark of the Covenant. Well, understanding will come into focus as we look on top of the ark. We've looked inside of it, but now what's going on top of it? On top of the Ark of the Covenant was a gold plate called the mercy seat. The mercy seat was where that high priest, once a year, on the day of Yom Kippur, would go in and he would sprinkle the blood in the presence of God. on the mercy seat. That mercy seat was between and under two statues of cherubim. Two angels knelt there. Exodus 25, verses 18 through 19. Psalm chapter 80, verse 1 and Psalm 99, verse 1 describe God as He sitteth between the cherubims. He sitteth between the cherubims. See, God showed up. God's presence showed up right above the mercy seat, giving current meaning to past acts of power. See, what did the command mean to the Israelites? And why would God care so much about a piece of furniture that He required to go first? The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament was the equivalent of Emmanuel, God with us. Amen, church? See, when this chest led the way, this chest meant, this piece of furniture meant that God was out in front. God was in the lead. Who's taking the first step into Canaan? Oh, it's God. Amen? It's God. Their task was to follow. The Israelites' task was to follow God's lead, to pursue God's presence, and to what? To come after Him. Amen? Why was God so particular about the distance? 2,000 cubits. Why was He so particular about the distance that was to be kept from the ark? Verse 4. If there shall be a space between you and it, meaning the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure, come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. What's God's point? What's His plan? 2,000 cubits. He wanted all of Israel to see which way God wanted them to go. He wanted all of them to see, not just a few of them to see. If the group in the front crowded in, hey man, you're pushing me. Well, it's crowded up here. Well, back off, Jack. Right? As they crowd around the ark, as they try to push in and get as close as they can without touching it. Because if you touch it, you're not a high priest, you die, right? That's why they carried it with wooden rods. Right? So God told them to be back. He told them to be back. If they crowded in too closely, only a handful would have seen the ark and God's moving. So I want you to picture the scene. Try to get it in your mind's eye. All of Israel is encamped on a sloping hill beside the Jordan. Stay with me now. The ark is positioned 1,000 yards from them. Everyone in the nation would be able to see the ark. Praise God, everyone. The priest would bear the ark by rods upon their shoulders up here, right? It would be between them as they stride toward the white water of the Jordan. And as they saw it, everybody would get the point. And what's the point, Pastor? God intended for Israel to breach the Jordan with Him. Amen. But the crossing could only be done if they collectively focused on and followed Him. Are you seeing it? We're talking about breaching those what? Breaching those defiantly uncrossable Jordans in our lives. See, point number two that kind of feeds into point number one is simply this. God intends for us to breach our Jordan. God intends for us to breach our Jordan with Him. With Him. See, your Jordan may be a river of sin. Your Jordan may be a river of weak faith. Your Jordan may be a river of poor choices. Anybody here like that this morning? Poor choices? Oh, yeah, I can lift my hand up. Yeah. Right. That may be your Jordan, or a river of keeping you from some incredible spiritual journey, your Jordan. God wants you to cross. But the river will only be breached if we focus on and follow Him, friend. I know what you're thinking. The light bulb's popping. I can see it going off in the room. Ding, ding. One over here, ding. One way in the back, ding. Pastor Lee, just kind of clue you in. We don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is. We don't have the Ark of the Covenant anymore. Oh, do we, though? Are you sure we don't have the Ark of the Covenant anymore? Well, I know physically and geographically. We can't go to a place and say, that's where it is. But I want you to think about the Ark of the Covenant for just a moment more. The Ark contained two copies of the Ten Commandments. Jesus fulfilled those Ten Commandments, did he not? Jesus fulfilled the law, as Matthew 5:17 says. Amen. The ark preserved the manna that fed them, the Israelites, in the wilderness for 40 years. Christ is the bread of life, is he not? Amen. John chapter 6, verses 31 through 46, specifically verses 31 through 35. The ark held a symbol of God's power to bring life out of death. But Jesus is alive from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and you. Amen? As we gaze ahead at the challenges filled with words like cancer, as we gaze ahead at the challenges filled with words like creditors, as we look ahead at the challenges filled with words like crisis, we can easily conclude that we're stuck in the wilderness, that we're away from the promised land, that we're away from the abundance of God. But I would tell you today, don't throw in the towel. Oh, you keep going. Don't say this is just my lot in life. I'm supposed to be this kind of falling back and this kind of a failure here and this kind of not good enough and this kind of I'm never going to make it. It's just my lot in life. No, it's not. No, friend, you hold on and you focus on Christ. Amen? You focus on Jesus of the Bible. Amen? You focus on the Jesus who saved you. Amen? You focus on the Jesus who touched you. Amen? Didn't you love that song? He touched me. Amen? Made me whole. Right? My soul, I was thinking about my own salvation experience as we were singing that song. He touched me. Well, I hope He's touched you too. If He's not, this is the place He will. Amen. You walk this aisle in a few moments, He'll put the touch on you. Bring salvation to your heart. Take the penalty of sin and death away from you. Put you on a path for glory. Amen? That's what He can. That's what He will. He's my Jesus. He's your Jesus. You focus on Him. For churches, as they gaze ahead at the challenges with words filled with things like budget deficit. For churches, as they gaze ahead at the challenges filled with words like volunteers still needed. As churches, as they gaze ahead at the challenges filled with words like baptisms could be better. For churches, as they gaze ahead filled with words like where are all the visitors? For churches, as they gaze ahead at the challenges, I thought we had more people than this. For churches, as they gaze ahead at the challenges, we could easily conclude that we're just stuck in the wilderness. This is our lot in life. Oh, no, friend. Absolutely not, friend. You may think you're away from the abundance of God, but you hold on a minute. Amen? You keep going a moment longer. Amen? And when you finish that moment, when you finish that hour, when you finish that day, when you finish that week, when you finish that month, you go another day, a week, a month. Amen? You just keep going. You focus on Jesus. Don't throw in the towel, right? Don't give up. Amen? Don't give up. Even when the water's rising, that's right, don't give up. Even when the street's filling up like a bathtub, don't give up. Even when you can't cross the bridge, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I end with this morning. We must follow the movements of God. That was verses 2 through 4. We springboarded onto that. God intends for us to breach our Jordan with Him. But let's get real specific and applicable this morning. Point number 3. What is your Jordan to breach with God? What is your Jordan? Is it a mindset that must change? A perspective that must shift about the church? About Jesus? About who you are in Christ? Perhaps your Jordan is something that keeps you from receiving, keeps you from receiving and implementing the Word of God. Something that keeps you from implementing and receiving the Word of God when it's preached, when it's taught in Bible study. When you pick up the Bible, it's just gobbledygook. It makes no sense to you. Oh, friend, sounds like you got a Jordan to cross. I know you got a Savior that wants to cross it with you. What's your Jordan to breach with God? Is it a bad attitude? Is it a complaining spirit? Is it an ungrateful heart? Oh, let me help you here. After what had gone on Sunday night into Monday, I looked at my wife and I said, you know what we can praise God for? We can praise God for, we were going to demo this carpet anyway. You know what? This carpet was gone. We weren't going to live on this carpet much longer. We were going to take it out. All the tack strip was going out. And the baseboard, we had already made up our mind to take it out. God just moved up the timetable. Amen? We praised Him. Amen? Praise God. Well, just get it on up, get it on out, right? And I kid you not, on Wednesday night, no sleep, Sunday night into Monday. Kids at home for 2 or 3 days. I mean, the week's kind of a blur right now, but kids were home, not much sleep, and trying to dry stuff out, right? Wednesday night, after a marathon members meeting. Wasn't that a good members meeting, though? Amen? We kind of got caught up, praise the Lord, amen? But after that marathon members meeting, going home on Zion, out of the blue, I don't know where it came from, I did not see it, I ran over a half-inch rod spike about that long. It went through the bottom of the tire and came out the side of the tire. And this is what I said to Trevor. I said, Trevor, did I hit something? What was that? And we're looking in the rearview mirror and looking around. Didn't see a thing. Go get in the car Thursday morning. Getting ready to pull out of the driveway. Got the car all warmed up. Getting ready to take, can't say her name, let's see, it'd be my middle daughter. Getting ready to take my middle daughter to her school. Closed the door, got everything, looked back at her, yes. Put the car in drive. On the message screen on the display, it says, check left rear tire. You know what I said? I've seen that message before. Let's go! Throw the car in drive. And I tell you, I didn't get 20 feet. I go, something ain't right. I threw that car in park on the street. On the street. Threw it in park, got out. And look, my soul, that thing's flatter than a pancake. I mean, it wasn't low. It didn't go past low. Amen? It was flat. So I very gingerly, you know, you're not supposed to drive on those things when they don't have any air. Very gingerly backed it up, kind of got it on the curb. Called my other daughter and said, need my other car home, bring it home. Brought it home, dropped everybody off. Got my middle daughter to school. Came back, wheeled out the old air compressor. Well, I'll air this thing up. We'll get it off, get it to the shop. Man, it'll be fine. I put that old air hose on there. I go, man, I don't have that regulator turned up high enough. I go over and turn that regulator. I got about 110, 120 pounds of air, you know, every time you hit that thing, pressure. I mean, as fast as I'm putting it in, it's coming out. I take my hand, I start rubbing it around, and I find that old steel rod. It had backed out about 3 or 4 inches. I go, my soul, this is it. And I pulled it out. I couldn't believe it. I go, how? Where? It's just life, ain't it? I put the air compressor back up. Praise the Lord. I guess we're getting another tire. You know what I said? Let me tell you how you can praise God and not be a complainer about this stuff. Told my wife, praise the Lord, this didn't happen on I-45. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, it happened right in the driveway. Amen? Pray, God is good, is He not? Boy, I tell you what, man, that thing could have gone south somewhere else, right? It went south right there. I praise Him every day. Praise Him every day. Is your Jordan to cross? Is your river a bad attitude? Is it a complaining spirit? Is it an ungrateful heart? Oh, cross that river with Jesus today. Amen? Cross it. Perhaps your Jordan is the greatest Jordan of all. It's the sin unto death. Sin unto death. Oh, your Jordan is a lost heart. Your Jordan is a hell-bound path. Your Jordan, the Bible speaks, is you're already condemned if you're not saved. Already condemned if you're not saved. Is that your Jordan? Let me tell you something, church. Jesus crosses that Jordan of sin. He's already done it. I mean, with His death, He's crossed it. He's taken that eternal punishment. He has subtracted it from you if you will receive Him as your personal Savior and Lord. Oh, the cross. The cross has made it a cross. Amen? The cross has made it a cross. So let Jesus take you to the other side, friend, if you're lost here today. If you've never prayed to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, let Jesus take you to the other side. Amen. The promised land. Let Him get you to salvation land. Amen. Let Him get you over there to heaven. Let him take you on off to glory one day. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, the waning moments of my life, when that day comes, when that hour approaches, oh, man. Oh, man. I'm a pilot, you see. Nothing like getting to the end of the runway, being cleared for takeoff, have permission to take off, fly heading 140 after climbing 10,000 feet. Okay. Go through the checklist. My heart finally slows and gets to the end of life. Oh, you know what you do in an airplane? You put the brakes on and you throw the throttle to the firewall. You spool that. If it's a reciprocating engine, you spool her up. If it's a jet engine, you bring her up to power. And you hold her there for just a second and then you release the brakes. And she rolls on down the runway. And when she finally gets enough speed, with the flaps out just a little bit, it's takeoff time. Amen? Boy, that's where Jesus wants to take you. He wants to take you on up and out with Him. And He's waiting on you today. He's waiting at the river's edge. That uncrossable, defiantly uncrossable river of sin, death, and eternal punishment. Jesus is waiting for you today at this altar saying, "Come! I've already crossed it. Take the gift of the crossing, and we'll get you on past all this." Amen? So we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, that we can be in Your Word this morning, sing praises to Your name, rejoice in who You are as our great deliverer, as our great sustainer, as our great friend, and the One who fights for us. Lord, You know the hearts of those that are in attendance this morning. Lord, some need to come to this altar and cross some Jordans. Oh, some need to get on down here, not make any haste. Some need to come right now before the prayer even ends. They need to begin to fill this altar and meet with You and do spiritual business with You right here, right now. And make a point, make a plan, lay it down at Your feet, and get past that old defiantly uncrossable junk that's going on in their life. But Lord, there's others here today that have never received this gift of salvation. They've never tasted, they've never experienced, they've never invited You into their heart to be their personal Savior and Lord. Not a Baptist thing, simply a Bible thing. They've never done it. And Lord, I pray today this would be the hour, this would be the moment, this would be the cathartic crescendo place in their life where they put a stake in the ground and Jesus is saving me here and now. Lord, let it happen for them. May they not turn a deaf ear. May they not turn a blind eye. May they receive You this morning as Savior and Lord. For the rest of us, may we worship. May we be in a spirit of prayer, a spirit of rejoicing that You are the God that takes us to the other side. It's in Your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. If you'll stand with us, Brother Jeremiah, he's going to lead us in this time of invitation.